Nothing is more important than protecting your family and property. That's why you should make a free call right now to Vivint, the number one smart home services provider in the U.S. Vivint will make your home safer and more secure with a state-of-the-art system that's so simple to use. Vivint smart home specialists provide award-winning monitoring of your system 24/7, 365 to respond to any emergency, even when you can't. And with the 4.5-star rated Vivint smart home mobile app, control your entire house from anywhere. Locks, cameras, security system, all at your fingertips on your mobile device. Call Vivint now and get a free quote, professional installation, and full smart home service for as little as $2 per day. Equipment purchase or service agreement required. Conditions apply. Call now. A smart home is a safer home. So protect your family and your property, home or business, with a Vivint smart home system.
Call 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005. That's 800-689-3005. 800-689-3005.
Welcome into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline, the interactive radio network program with the latest in high-tech products and services and the experts who bring them to you. This is Into Tomorrow. Here's Dave Graveline.
It's the Into Tomorrow broadcast for the weekend of September 2nd, 2022. Thank you for tuning Into Tomorrow. I'm Dave Graveline.
I'm Chris Graveline.
And of course, starting next week on this very broadcast, you don't want to miss a minute of what we anticipate to be 3 or 4 weeks worth of coverage from IFA in Berlin, Germany. It's the place where the industry, retailers, trade visitors, us media types, and of course, consumers, because they're allowed, unlike CES, consumers, the general public, is allowed into IFA. That's where we all meet, for whom ultimately all the products and services are developed and produced for us consumers. So we've got a ton of interviews already lined up, and we'll be gathering even more whilst we're there, which is why you're hearing today's best of, because we're en route there and setting up for our broadcast over the next several weeks.
And if you don't want to miss any of that IFA coverage or subsequent shows, make sure you subscribe to our free podcasts.
And how does one do that? I hear you can subscribe anywhere you already get any other podcast, because we're everywhere.
Of course, you can find information on our site at intotomorrow.com, or you could subscribe on your favorite podcast service, Amazon Music, Apple Music, Google, whatever it is. And
I think it's Google Podcasts.
Google Podcasts. There you go.
Yeah, they're all there for you. And of course, visiting us, also sign up for our tech newsletter. Where?
At intotomorrow.com.
Steve in Lake Villa, Illinois, or is it Lake Villa?
Lake Villa.
Lake Villa, okay. Listens to the free Into Tomorrow podcast, and is calling using the new Ask Dave button on the Into Tomorrow website. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Chris. Oh, and if Dave's there, too.
Oh, thanks.
I think my message got lost in the app this last time around, so I'm going to try it again. I kind of invested in Google smart speakers. My wife bought me a smart screen for Christmas. I have, I don't know how many little mini hubs around the house. I kind of do a surround sound through the house so I can listen to music wherever I go. So what I was thinking was I might need a tablet to go with this. So the question I have is what tablet would work kind of in the Google ecosystem with the smart screen, the speakers. I have Chromecast, but I prefer the Roku. Thought you guys may have an answer.
Hi, Chris. He only said hi to you. Well, he did say hi to me, too. I guess it's my lack of voice lately. But boy, the calls, the web app calls sound great.
Yeah.
So thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. But any tablet will generally work well with Google's ecosystem. Even iPads can play nice with most Google services. But if you've fully bought into Google's ecosystem, you might as well go for the closest to a Google tablet that you can get. So at the moment, Google's not listing any made by Google tablets on their site. You can still find the old ones online, but the fact that they're not listed on their site doesn't send the best sign about the company's willingness to support them. Tablets are not very popular anymore, so they may have just decided that it's a market segment they don't need to address directly.
Yeah, and since made by Google isn't really an option for you right now, you should probably look at some of the second best to that, stock Android tablets. Mm-hmm. It's hard to truly find stock tablets that don't come with any extra bloatware from the manufacturer, but there are some Samsung.com that might work for you. One is the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7. It's got a bright 11-inch screen, 13 hours of battery life, and it's compatible with Samsung's keyboard cases if you're interested in that. The tablet does use a Snapdragon 865 Plus, which is largely okay, but not exactly the fastest processor around these days. You can find the Samsung Galaxy Tab S7 for around $550 online.
Yeah, now you can also look at the Lenovo Tab P11 Pro. It's also an 11-inch tablet with a good OLED screen. The Lenovo Tab P11 Pro has two particularly attractive features, we think. The 8600 milliamp per hour battery and its $400 price tag, which isn't bad for a decent tablet. It's not the best around in terms of performance or cameras, but it's very good for the price.
Yeah, and you should probably avoid Amazon tablets. They do run a customized version of Android, and they're very cheap. It's not rare to find the 10-inch version for a little more than $100, but they're designed to push Amazon services from the store itself, so it's video, music, and other offerings. That doesn't mean that you won't be able to make it work if you're determined, but it'll always try to steer you towards Alexa or Amazon Music over Google's Assistant and YouTube Music, for example.
Yeah, and thank you, Steve. Sorry you had trouble with app participation. Everyone who did the last 2 months, we knew there was a problem, and we apologize. So use the new web participation. You sound great. Into Tomorrow occasionally takes an email. You know, we'd much rather hear you. It is radio, after all, and we just don't want to read emails all the time, but we do occasionally. For example, here's one from Rob. The other disadvantage to an email is we have no idea where he was writing from, how he listens to the show, or whether he loves us or not. But he did ask two questions.
He says, what is the difference between a Wi-Fi booster and a Wi-Fi extender? What is a good Wi-Fi booster or extender? Garage is about 20 feet away from my hub. Thank you for any help you can give, and be safe.
Oh, well, thank you, Rob. You be safe as well. Those terms are mostly used interchangeably, actually. They're both wireless range extenders. There could be a difference in that a Wi-Fi extender sometimes refers to a wired device that you plug into your wired network, if you have one, to extend your Wi-Fi to a place that wouldn't otherwise get it. But more often than not, they're meant to identify devices that will take a Wi-Fi network and somehow make it reach places it normally wouldn't. Booster is mainly a term for something that takes a wireless signal, boosts it, and repeats it. But there's no official definition that anyone's required to stick to, so don't worry.
Yeah, now as far as good boosters or extenders, most of them are either difficult to set up or difficult to use. For example, some will force you to connect to a network once you start to lose your main one. That's luckily not always the case. But those that truly extend a single network and are just standalone repeaters sometimes have compatibility issues or are a lot of work to set up. Now the exception are mesh systems like the Eero, Google Wi-Fi, or Netgear's Orbi. All of these will be easy to set up and use, but they won't be as cheap as old style extenders. If your garage is only about 20 feet from your hub, you should get a usable signal in there unless there's an awful lot of metal in those walls. If you mean yards, then a good repeater will probably help, and a mesh system will help make your setup easier and use more seamless.
Yeah, you kind of get the idea that while there might be interchangeable, there are some advantages, obviously, especially to the mesh system. A lot of folks go in there. They can also handle more devices these days because we're really overtaxing, all of us, our Wi-Fi networks. We might have had a computer and a phone, and now we've got so many other devices, including smart home devices and smart TVs and just all sorts of things, smart speakers, right? All things that are overtaxing. So absolutely try to improve your Wi-Fi whenever possible. Intotomorrow.com. Let's meet there.